It's episode 5 of the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson, the corporate vice president of the Windows Server and System Center business. This week, we take a look at one of the stories that got a lot of attention coming out of MMS, a piece in CRN entitled Microsoft Leaps Ahead of VMware and Hybrid Cloud Management. It's a pretty bold title, and we'll take a look at what has happened to make a statement like that possible, and we'll also answer some of your questions. Thank you for joining this episode of the In the Cloud podcast. So, Brad, as I mentioned there during the introduction, one of the articles coming out of MMS that was really interesting for, I think, a lot of people to see, mainly because it had a big headline that I think I caught a lot of attention, was the article that came from CRN about how Microsoft had leapt ahead of VMware on the hybrid IT. Were you surprised to see an article like that?
You know, not at all. You know, as we've been making our investments, I think we've long understood that our perspective was different and unique from VMware's, and the experience that we have in building public clouds and operating those and then delivering that value to organizations running their data centers, you know, either as a customer or as a service provider, I think this gives us a different perspective, so I'm not surprised at all.
So the article pointed out what a big focus this has been for Microsoft and some of the successes that we've had developing hybrid IT. Why do you think this has been such a focus for Microsoft developing something like this?
Yeah, it's interesting. When you talk about cloud computing, much of the industry, or you know, many individuals that hear that, will automatically leap towards, hey, that means public cloud. And as we talk about cloud computing, you know, it really is, hey, it's a model of computing, and the cloud can be running in your data centers in the data centers of a service provider, or in a public cloud like what we have with Azure. And so as we have defined what we thought in from the interviews and all the experience we have with customers, no one wants to be locked in. No one. Organizations want that insurance. They want that guarantee that for whatever reason, if they need to move a workload for a business reason, for a regulatory reason, whatever the reason may be, they want to be able to do that. And so we knew that. And so we wanted to make sure that we offer that across all these clouds and enabled organizations to place their workloads and their services in the cloud that made the most sense for them, public, private, hosted.
One of the things that was a big theme at MMS, and you brought this up in your keynote as well, was that idea of a consistent operating environment. Explain a little bit about what are some of the contrasts between an environment that is consistent versus one that's not. I mean, what are some of those things that's going to be run into every day from these people running data centers or just running an IT operation at one of our enterprise customers?
Yeah, so as we talk about this consistency across clouds, we really focus on five aspects or five capabilities that we think are just essential on that. And those five things are virtualization, management, development, data, and identity. And so we've worked, you know, across all the company to make sure that, for example, in Azure and in the private or hosted cloud, we can now leverage the exact same VMs with the release of the IaaS, the infrastructure as a service we put out a couple of weeks ago. So I have a VM on premise, I can move that VM up into a cloud, that VM can go to a service provider. It's all governed and accessed, all managed through Active Directory and Azure Active Directory, the same identity consistent across both. From a management perspective, you can use System Center from an orchestration capability, from an operations management capability, and you get that same look and feel in one pane of glass, if you will, you know, quote unquote, one pane of glass, across all your different clouds. You know, data, you know, really the currency of the new world. You know, we have one team that delivers SQL and SQL Azure inside of Azure, and it's all consistent. It's all the same type of pieces. And then from a development perspective, you know, we wanted to make sure that organizations that have been developing, you know, for use of our technology and products inside of their data centers and inside of their organizations, same exact experience to go develop an application for Azure. It's all in Visual Studio. It's consistent. So consistency across, let's just name those five again: development, management, virtualization, identity, and data. If we do our job and nail those five things, that gives organizations that flexibility and that ability to move their VMs, to move their services, and do it in a way that they don't have to retrain development, they don't have to retrain IT operations and IT professionals around the world. It just all works.
You mentioned there's something that I wanted to talk about, which was that announcement from Azure with the IaaS capabilities.
Now, announcement.
Yeah, now as the executive who's responsible for Windows Server and System Center, when you're talking to the partners and the customers around the world and you want to frame that for them, what are you telling them about that gets you so excited?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it's Windows Azure. Windows is at the foundation of everything that we do in Azure. Mm-hmm. And so, interestingly enough, the largest single customer that I have in the world for Windows Server is Windows Azure, It is literally our number one customer.
Which I think a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, the number, I don't think we've ever published the number of servers that exist inside of Azure, but it's a huge number. And as we take a look at the number of servers that we're on deck to purchase next year or in the year after that, they're numbers that the entire industry used to purchase a few years ago.
Right.
So they're big. So the thing that I think is just super interesting about this is the learning that comes when you operate something at that kind of scale. There's just no other way to get it. And so, not only do we sit down regularly with the Azure leadership and understand what they're doing, but the direct lines of communication between, an individual developer on Azure and an individual developer that's working on Windows and System Center, that level of communication is just unbelievably high bandwidth and unbelievably valuable because, it's a learning environment. And so, we actually have the environment here where if anything happens on Azure, all those calls, all those incidents, anything that happens goes directly to the development team. And that goes directly to the development teams across the company, everybody who's working on Azure. It doesn't come through the support. It doesn't come, necessarily through any type of any organization that buffers the engineering team. Certainly we have operations people that help us to make sure that it's going to the right places. But all of the incidents come directly into the engineering team, and we have to service them. We're available 24/7 for whatever may happen. And you better believe that when you're on that kind of a service level agreement, you do everything that you can and everything necessary to ensure that it's a high quality product, a high quality service, because the last thing you want is to get a phone call at 2 in the morning.
Without being specific to a specific kind of customer, what is a type of organization or an organization that might be in a specific circumstance that can really benefit from what Azure is offering now?
One really common scenario that we see happening right now is organizations that move, for example, their web the web tier or the web front end into Azure, but it still is making connection back to the data and back to the middle tier that exists inside of their data centers. When we talk, for example, about an organization in Europe named EasyJet, it's a wonderful airline, and they've got their own internal systems that they do all of the running and all the processing of all the the airplanes and all everything that's associated with that. But they wanted to also make a service available to where their consumers could get real-time updates of the flight status, arrivals, delays, those types of pieces. And that's actually all done through Azure. And so, that was just linking, if you will, a set of capabilities running inside of Azure, really a web front end, and then actually goes and pulls data from their back end that runs in their data center, but it enabled them to offer a customer service without them having to deploy infrastructure and leveraging the data that already exists in their service. I think it's a wonderful example.
Wow.
There's examples, a lot of examples just like that one where organizations saw a new opportunity to provide a higher level of service to their employee or to their employees or more frequently to their customers, leveraging the data, leveraging all the infrastructure that they have on premise, but do it in a way that's accessible around the world to their customers anytime, anywhere. And that's a great example of the cloud. So that was just one example. We see a lot of startups. Most startups actually start with everything being in the cloud. And we talk about these organizations being born of the cloud.
Right. Yeah.
And if you were going to start up your own business, chances are you would look at that and say, well, why would I want to build a data center? Why would I want to...
it'd be impossible to scale.
That's right. So let's just start in the cloud and let's be born in the cloud from the get-go. Then the other thing that I would just mention is the industry has talked about, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service. One of the great things about cloud computing is cloud computing provides a level of service, where it's available 24/7 by 365. It can be available around the world. And if you think about the infrastructure that organizations had to build out in the past to deliver that kind of a worldwide service, there were only a handful of organizations in the world that could do it. Boy, now with cloud computing, anyone can get that benefit because the cloud automatically does that for you. So, if what I would encourage everyone to look at is if you've got an organ, if you in your organization you're looking at some of the new applications you're going to be developing, let's go take some of those and let's develop those in the public cloud on Azure, especially if it's employee facing, you know, get your experience doing something along those lines, and then think, you know, and brainstorm about what capabilities, what service you could provide to your customers around the world, highly available, and let's work together on how we can do that from Azure, attaching to the data and the infrastructure you already have on premise.
And to me, that's one of the things that's really exciting about some of these products that Microsoft is building, because our relationship with enormous enterprise companies is longstanding. But if you look at things we're talking about here, companies that want to be born in the cloud, and then companies who want to get up and running with something like Office 365, mm-hmm. I mean, Microsoft is a really good friend of that small business startup community.
Yeah, and that's something, actually, you know, as you mentioned, that came to mind. You know, all the services that we're building out across Microsoft, and literally in every one of our businesses, we're cloud optimizing our businesses. Those are all being built on Azure.
Right.
And so Azure literally is our platform that all of our the software as a service, cloud-based services that we're developing is all built on. So the whole company is dependent upon it.
And that is cool that it's built here first. We try it, it works for us. And once, you know, we're all operating on it, we see a certain level of efficiency. That's when it hits the market. And
yeah, let me give you a really good example of that. You know, one of the things that was pioneered in Azure was the ability to put thousands of IIS web servers on a single Windows Server OS instance. You know, one of the ways that we were able to drive down our costs substantially is kind of breaking this one web server to one server operating system, tie alignment, dependency, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. And so we pioneered that in Azure, and then in January, we released that out to the world to run on top of Windows Server. And so you can go up and take a look, and you look for Windows Azure Services for Windows Server. And that literally is that high-density web capabilities that we engineered, we innovated on, we proved, you know, and we got it going on top of Azure, and then delivered it to be deployed on top of Windows Server and System Center in your data centers. So, you know, if you're a large organization that has the need of a lot of web servers, very highly used this set of capabilities by service providers, mm-hmm. you can actually use the Azure services for Windows Server and get thousands of web servers running on a single Windows Server OS instance. But you want to talk about driving your cost down right. and benefiting from what Microsoft has done with Azure. That's a wonderful example.
Man, that's I mean, we think about the things when we say, like, you know, we couldn't have imagined doing X years ago. I mean, this is one of those things that even, you know, a very, very small X number, you know, recently, I mean, these are some really exciting things that are now possible to start doing.
Yeah, and again, the innovation that you can do in the cloud, you know, in the public cloud is so rapid. You can get capabilities out. You know, we send capabilities out every day. We try them. We understand. We learn. We progress. And then we actually deliver those products and those services, or those services, you know, first of all, through the cloud, and then as a product that organizations can deploy on top of Windows Server and System Center. So I think everyone in the world benefits from the work that we do in Windows Azure.
You know, another term that we hear a lot about when hybrid IT is discussed is about making the process simple. And we saw there was a question on Twitter that came in along these lines, you know, that said, in I'm paraphrasing, you know, hybrid IT is an incredibly technical process. So what do we mean when we talk about helping businesses simplify what they're doing on their end? When we talk about the simplicity.
Well, you know, I definitely have a principle that simplicity will always win. If there's a head-to-head competition, and you know, if you've got a much more simple, much more easy-to-use solution that addresses the need, simplicity will always win, okay? And you know, all too often what I see happening is organizations are trying to pull together you know, different assets, different capabilities from across their organization, their partners, and making all that work together can just be very, very complex, especially when it hasn't been architected to run together. Okay, so all too often, IT professionals are basically charged with this task of, hey, I've got all these disparate capabilities. I want you to bring it together and make it look like it is like it was built to run together.
Right.
And you know, and there's a lot of value to do that, but I think there's a better way. And so I think at the root of consistency, I think one of the things that consistency across clouds delivers is simplicity. It's the same VMs. It's the same identity that manages the access. It's the same management capabilities that you use, whether you're all on-prem, on the cloud, or in a hybrid model. Your developers can leverage the experience that they've had for the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years with Visual Studio. And I, you know, and because we deliver consistency, what that means is all these things have been built in a way that they work together automatically because they're all architected in a similar way. Okay, so you don't have to go figure out how they should work together because we're doing that. And not only because we're designing these things to work together, but we're designing them to be consistent, which I think it makes that integration, you know, literally 20 times easier.
I mean, we could talk about this easily the rest of the afternoon. As I look ahead, there's a bunch more posts that you're going to have coming up on the calendar on this topic. But I think this is a good place to stop here. Brad, thanks for taking the time to come in and talk today.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thanks again for listening to the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. If you'd like to read more about the topics that have been discussed today or any of the past posts that Brad referenced, check out his blog at aka.ms/inthecloud. And you can also follow Brad on Twitter at inthecloudmsft.